1999, at a Bible study on a Friday night in the land, in the Chicagoland area, we're having a Bible study and we're talking about God as our Father. A young woman, at the end of the study, she said, "You know, I have the toughest time understanding God as a father, because my father was never there for me, and I had a horrible father. And so when people say that God is my father, like, I don't get it." You know, and so I tried to explain to her that, yes, God is our father, but he's not like our earthly fathers. The opposite is true. We wish that our earthly fathers be more like God. You know, and he's like a pattern. He's the mold, and we are to imitate, to emulate what he does. And so finally she kind of understood, you know, we celebrate Father's Day, but I know some of you maybe here today, your dad was horrible. He was never an example to you. And so while other people are celebrating you, you're like, I don't have anything to celebrate. And that woman in 1999, that was her story. And, you know, I'm trying to talk to her about God is the ultimate father. And yes, we're going to say, oh, he's not like any of us. I remember, like we talked about in the Sermon on the Mount through the prayer, we had to right-size God. He's not like any of us. He's in a different category. We should be like him in many aspects. But, you know, we learn from him to be great fathers to our kids. But, you know, you don't put him on our category because he doesn't fit. We cannot build a big box to put God in. That's impossible. So, like I said, I told that lady, we wish to be like God. You know, he's the ultimate example for us as fathers. See, there's that story that many of us are familiar with. It's called the prodigal son, Luke chapter 15. You hear the story of a father. I think when you read that story, you get a better understanding of who God is as a father to guide us, earthly fathers, to be better, or to imitate God's character, God's traits as we raise our families, as we raise our kids. You see, in Luke 15, if you got your Bibles with you, Jesus told three stories. And the reason that Jesus told that story is because the Pharisees, the religious leaders, complained about Jesus. Luke 15, chapter 10, the complaint, chapter 1 and 2, the complaint was that Jesus, they said, he welcomes sinners and he eats with them. Luke 15, 2, they say this man welcomes sinners and eats with them. That was unusual for the religious leaders of those days because the name Pharisees means the righteous one. And so it's like they would not hang out or associate with other people that were not like them. They would hate tax collectors. They would, outsiders, they would not even hang out with them. And if they happen to touch any of those people, they have to go through so many washing and purifications because they consider themselves defiled. Now, Jesus comes along and Jesus is hanging out with everybody. The outsiders, the tax collectors, and the prostitute. And it's like, this man, if he's a rabbi, he welcomes sinners and eats with them. What's up with that? They didn't get it. Then Jesus told a story to tell them why he did what he did. He tells the story of three things that were lost. He tells the story of the lost sheep. Remember that? This man had 100 sheep and he lost one. And he went and looked for the one that he lost. And when he found it, he brought it back on his shoulders rejoicing. He said, "Hey, I found my lost sheep. Let's celebrate." Then Jesus says something drastic or dramatic for many of us. He says, in the same way, there's a party in heaven every time a sinner is found by God. Every time a sinner repents. When you look at verses 7 and 10. Jesus said, "I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent." Then he tells another story to illustrate God's passion for sinners, to illustrate how God is pursuing people that are lost, and they might not even know they're lost. But he tells the story of the lost coin. This woman lost a coin, and she turned the house upside down looking for that coin. And when she found it, she rejoiced and said, "Hey, let's have a party. I found my lost coin." And then in verse 11, through 32, he talks about the story of the lost son. Many of us, depending on the version you read, you might hear the story of the prodigal son. A father had two sons, he talks about. Now, verse 10, before we get to that story, in the same way Jesus said, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Okay, the Pharisees and the religious leaders complain that you hang out with sinners. Here's the answer. I'm doing it because when they come to God, there's a party in heaven. God rejoices when sinners come. So they're lost. God's pursuing them. And when he finds them, there's a huge celebration. He says it twice right here. And then he goes on to the story of the prodigal son in Luke 15. You got your Bibles, verse 11 through following. Then Jesus continued. That's what the NIV says. He continues. There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, Father, give him the share of the estate. So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set up for a distant country, and there squandered all his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him in the fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pots that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired men have food to spare? And there I am, starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men. So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him and kissed him. The son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a party. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and it is found. So they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, the older brother was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard the music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him, What was going on? Then, your brother has come, he replied, and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound. The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, Look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders, yet you never gave me a young goat so that I could celebrate with my friends. But this son of yours, who has squandered your property with prostitutes, comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him. My son, the father said, you're always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because your brother was dead and is alive again. He was lost and it is found. Many of us are familiar with the story, and I just read it just in case that you have it, that you were not familiar with it. The whole idea of the prodigal son, this son of the youngest one, Jesus said. Now, remember, Jesus is talking in parables. A parable, the way I learned it in Sunday school, is an earthly story to illustrate a heavenly meaning. Sometimes the people in the parable are not real people. Jesus was a storyteller. He was a master telling story. So keep in mind, this father, we don't know his name, two sons. The youngest one said, give me what's mine. What this kid is asking is for the inheritance. Now, when was he supposed to get the inheritance? At the death of the father. In other words, what this young man is telling his dad, I don't care who you are. To me, you're dead. Give me what's mine. The father then divided the property, gave, you know, between the two brothers. The youngest one, left. He wanted to be independent from his dad. He got his property, his money. He left. And the Bible says that he wasted the money in wild living. Now, the older brother said it was like he was living, you know, he was hiring prostitutes and things like that. Nonetheless, he says that he squandered, that's the NIV for you. He wasted what he had in wild living. And then for the first time in his life, that young man began to be in need. Now think about when you were with your dad in the house, he even had hired people. You had everything. Your needs were supplied. Now you are on your own and you ran out of money and maybe friends too. You're in a different country. You wasted everything. For the first time in your life, you began to be in need. Like, because all your needs were supplied back home, but you ain't home anymore. And so now it says right there, like, he decided, well, you know, well, let me look for a job. He went in and found a job. And it's interesting because Jesus is talking to a Jewish audience. You know, Jesus, every time Jesus talked to a Jewish audience, he uses words that would be repulsive to them. Pigs. You know, Jewish people don't. I mean, it's like, why did he have to go and get a job feeding pigs? That's unclean animals. Jesus is talking about that. Jesus is talking about the Samaritans, which the Jewish people did not like. So Jesus always make the hero somebody that Jewish people did not like. In this case, he said he went and hired himself. They gave him a job, and the job was like he was taking care of pigs. Feeding pigs, the lowest job in that region. Like I say, it will be repulsive for the audience to whom Jesus is speaking. Pigs. I mean, even to be a shepherd of sheep, that was just like, they would not do that. And the Romans didn't like that either. And then he says he was hungry. Again, for the first time in his life, this young man felt hunger. Why do I say for the first time? Because while he was back home, he had everything he needed because his dad provided for him. But he wanted to be independent. His dad let him go. He lost everything he had. He had to find a job in order for him to provide for himself. He says that the job was taking care of pigs. He was so hungry. And the text says, I mean, have you ever been that hungry that you want to eat your dog food? None of us, maybe, right? He was that hungry that the pots that or the food that the pigs were eating was appealing to him. I mean, this man was really, I mean, it was severe hunger. I mean, he was starving to death. I mean, I don't know that I can eat what pigs eat. And you're there, and they're all eating, and the pigs are going to give you anything. And just like, I mean, that's this young man. I mean, picture that. He's there, and the Bible said he longed to fill his stomach with the pots that the pigs were eating. Man, that's hunger. Some of us in America, we do not have any clue what hunger is. Until you go to Africa or Haiti and people have to bake like dirt pies to feed their kids. I mean, that's hunger. You know, but, I mean, this man is over there. It's like, I mean, he hit his bottom. And then finally, he said the smartest thing he ever said in verse 18. 17. He said, then he came to his senses. He said, how many of my father's hired men have food to spare? And here I am, starving to death. I will paraphrase it for you. He said, wow, even the slave in my father's house is better than I am right now. They got food to spare, and here I am, starving to death. And then he said, I will rise up. I will get up and go back to my father and say, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me just like your worker. Because even your worker in your house is better than what I'm living right now. He said, I will set out. And then he did. He's going home. But you and I need to understand something. He already gave up the right as son. The moment he asks his dad, give me what's mine, you cannot come home as son anymore. You already forfeited everything. You had your money. You went home. You wasted it. Yeah, maybe I can give you a job, but you cannot come home thinking that, oh, you're going to be my son. Even though he said, I will go back to my father. But, you know, the father gave you what's yours. And in that culture, that's it. So I will sit out. I will go back to my father and say, I have sinned. Because he realized, yeah, you blew it, man. You messed up that. I have sinned against heaven, against God, and against you. He knew it. I'm not worthy to be called your son. Please just give me a job. Make me just like one of your slaves, one of your hired men. So he set out. Then he's going home. And the story says that the father saw him on the way. I mean, he was still far away off. The father saw him, and something happened in the father's guts. That's the whole idea of the Greek word for compassion. It's almost something you feel in your guts, like it's not butterfly, but the connection is like, wow, he was moved from within. That's what the word implies. When he saw his son coming back home, and then he ran. Another thing Jesus said, which never happened in that culture, is that fathers would not run. And you see this father, just he did not care. He saw his son coming, and he's just running towards him. It's not in the text, but I always think about this. Son probably realized, oh boy, I'm getting it now. Because here comes dad. And I mean, he had no idea what the dad's going to say. You know, he's going, and the father is running. Let me just read it for you right here. Verse 20. So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him out of welcome. And then the son began to say the speech that he was practicing back with the pigs, remember? He practiced a speech back with the swine, with the pigs. He says, I will get up. Remember, he said, I will get up and go back to my father and say, Father, I have sinned against you and against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men. So he practiced back with the pigs. Now he's going to review the dad's here. Let me tell him let me just tell him. So he began to, verse 21, to say the speech. The son said to him, after the father ran, embraced him and kissed him. He says, Father, in other words, I'm sorry. I have sinned against heaven, against God, and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. And we don't appreciate much in some of the translation, but you see, his speech got cut by the father. He did not finish. Because the father interrupted the speech, and just like he saw, the father went crazy for his son when he saw him come back home. And we don't know how long it took him. And the fact that the father ran, it's like, and he saw him while he was still far off, is because he's been waiting for the son to come home. And you see, he ran, he embraced him, he kissed him. And verse 22, the father said to his servant, quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a party. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost, and it is found. Wow. Bring the best robe. You know what that means? He's receiving him not just as a slave. He's welcoming him as the son again. If you notice that when you read Revelation, the whole idea that when people come to heaven, like you're given this new robe. And John, the Revelation writer, he saw people, and they all like wearing white robes, because now you're in the presence of God, and it's almost like you are here. This is what you were born to. This is your destiny right here. So the son comes home, and he just bring the best robe, put it on him. You're welcome back as my son. Put a ringer, ring in his finger, which means, the same authority that I have as a father, I'm giving that to you. How do we know that? Remember when a king sent somebody to some places, they would get his ring as the approval. This authority. You can move in this house with the same rights and authority as the father. So he's welcoming the son as my son. You're back. No, you're not going to be a slave or a servant. You're going to be bring the best robe. Put a ring on his finger. And sandals on his feet. Sandals on his feet. I know that three times the father illustrated to us that I'm welcoming you back as my son, not as a slave. And so like you can move around the house as you left this place, it's yours again. Come back. Now this is a great story to illustrate how compassionate this father really was. He forgave his son after the son blew it and messed up really bad. He didn't care about the speech. He interrupted the speech. The son came back. He went crazy because you're back and I love you that much. And you're going to be in my house, not as a second-class citizen. You're going to be my son. And he did that. And when you look at the story, that's really what God has done for you and I. No wonder Jesus said to the religious leader, There's a party in heaven when a sinner comes, home. Let's have a party, he said, because my son was dead and he's alive again. He was lost and he's found. You and I need to understand something here, that the moment the son walked away from the father, he was lost. He was gone. He was dead. He said, he was dead, and it's almost like he resurrected. He's back to life because he came home. He was lost, but he's been found. Jesus told that three stories to illustrate to the religious people the importance of finding what's lost. And when God finds what's lost, he goes crazy. He throws a party in heaven. Even says the angels rejoice. He said, I will set out and go back to my father. Maybe not as a son. He did, and the father welcomed him as a son. See, he was separated from the father. We know, you and I know, that sin separates us from God. I mean, the Bible talks about the wages of sin is death. He was dead. Now he's alive. We're separated from our Heavenly Father because of sin. But God made it possible for you and I to bridge that gap. He made it possible because he sent his only begotten Son so that through Jesus Christ, you and I can come right running to God and be forgiven, be redeemed. So amazing. That's the greatest news that we can ever hear, that our Heavenly Father doesn't care how much you messed up. He doesn't care how bad you blew it. If you're willing to say like this son did, I will get up and go back to you. He will embrace you. And he will say, I told you so. And say, now you're coming to me running. No, he did not even say, just, I don't care. You're coming home. You are my son. And some of us don't even understand the grace of God. We don't understand really how compassionate he is. Because sometimes we just go back like, I'm so sinful. I really blew it. You cannot commit the greatest sin. That, you know, you see, as great as it might be, it won't be as great as God's grace is. It won't be as great as God. I mean, look at this man. He wished his dad to be dead. Abandoned his father. Came back. His dad embraced him. Compassion. Now, we said that there was a rejoicing in heaven, but apparently there was not rejoicing on earth. Because then you and I need to deal with the older brother. The older brother was in the field, taking care of business, comes home, and this is a celebration. We have, you know, people dancing and this music. And said, what's going on? Oh, your younger brother came home. And your dad killed a fattened calf, and he threw a party. He got angry. It's like some of us sometimes, when some people that we know that probably they were messing around there, they come to church and it's like, why is he here? We sometimes act like the younger brother, but sometimes we also act like the older brother. Like if like the older brother was like, you should not be here. You don't deserve God's love, man. You're such a sinful individual. So he said, I'm not going to the party. And the father, as compassionate as he is, he had to come back, come outside to plead with the older brother. He says, and then this is what he said. All these years I've been slaving here for you. And you never give me even a young goat so I can kill and celebrate with my friends. And this son of yours, he did not even say my brother. I don't know what you call that. This son of yours goes out and wastes all your money on prostitutes. He comes home and you kill the fattened calf. I mean, what's wrong with this picture, man? I mean, he's ticked. And then the father said, hey, my son, you're always here with me. In other words, everything I have is yours. So whenever you want to kill the goat, kill it. Have a party with your friends, man. But we have to celebrate because your brother was dead and he's alive again. He was lost and he's been found. So he gives the reason to the older brother why a party was necessary. The good news is that God made it possible for sinners to come to him through Jesus Christ. You see, when sinners repent, God goes crazy. There's a huge party in heaven. Jesus said it three times through that story, that there's more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who comes to him. God is a compassionate father. He welcomes sinners, and he does this. He welcomes sinners and turns them, he turns sinners into his kids. It's like, I mean, that's just grace, man. He would, doesn't matter how bad you messed up, he would transform you from sinner to his child. And somebody read that, John 1:12, he came to his own people. His own people did not receive him. But to those who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave him the right to be made children of God. That's what God did through Jesus Christ and his compassion. When people come running to him, he just goes running to them and embraces them and forgives them and welcomes them as their kids, as their son and daughters. I love what the psalmist wrote in Psalm 103, verse 10 to 13. He said, talking about Yahweh, the Lord, he does not treat us as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities. That's what the father did. I mean, that kid blew it, but he did not treat him. He did not treat him as the sins deserve. You're sinful, you need to die. No, he embraced him. Then he says, for as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. That's what you and I call astronomic grace. That's God's grace all over the place. Now, it doesn't matter how messed up you feel right now, when you come to God, he will wipe the slate clean. I mean, he will just forgive you. That's the kind of God that we serve. It doesn't matter how bad you were hanging out with the pigs back there, or how messed up you think you are. There's good news for you and I. All you gotta do is return to God. And he will, as a father, he will love you. He will shower mercy and compassion on you. He will welcome you with open arms. And I always wondered, maybe the next party in heaven that they're about to throw might be yours. When you come running to the Father, because he's just waiting for sinful people to come. And when you come to him, he said, I don't throw you out. He will embrace you. I mean, you and I sometimes have a tough time understanding his love, his mercy, and forgiveness. And yes, I mean, some people, sin is missing the mark. There's some people that really blew it, like this young man here. And he did not even treat him. He doesn't treat me as my sin deserved. For as high as the heavens are above the earth. We don't even know how high that is. And as a father has compassion on his son, so he also has compassion on us. So you're here today. And you, for one reason, you do not know Jesus. You do not know God as the Father of compassion. You think that you've been such a bad person in this life. There's news. There's good news for you. God loves you and he forgives you, but you have to come to him. See, if you don't come, I mean, the Bible says, Yahweh said, if you seek me, you find me. But if you don't seek me, I'm not going to be found by you. When people come to God, they're going to find love and forgiveness, and they're going to realize how great of a father he is, the father of compassion, that's willing to forgive what I've done for him. That's what the good news is. All in Jesus Christ, you and I can be adopted into the family of God. See, not everybody is a child of God. Only those who have received Jesus Christ. He welcomes you as his son. With all the rights and privileges that entails to be a son of God.